Chapter 7, Good and Evil as Realities of the Human Person. Objective, to show how good and evil are objective realities with respect to the person. 7.1, Good and Human Fulfillment. People are capable of appropriating some possibilities and rejecting others in the course of their development and their ever-changing relationship with the world. These possibilities are presented to them with respect to things, circumstances, or people they share their life with. Possibilities as such are not yet physical realities. What is real is that people can count on them. And precisely because having the possibility is real, people are faced with the problem of opting for some and leaving the others behind. Reality, inasmuch as people can appropriate it, constitutes good and evil. Reality is good inasmuch as it offers possibilities that people can make theirs, and people are inclined toward this good reality because they see it as favorable to them. Doing what is right is a demand of human nature. Good only exists in reference to people. Without this reference, nothing is good or evil. Reality is what is there, and what is there is neither good nor evil. These qualifiers imply a value judgment, and they obviously assume a subject who perceives and judges what is there. The formal character of good is found in its ethical dimension. If people were not ethical beings capable of appropriating reality, things would be neither good nor evil. What is specific about good is that it favors human fulfillment. Good and evil are objective realities always in reference to human people. 7.11, the roots of good. The root of the ethical good is both in people and in reality. In people, it consists of their dynamic nature that impels them to seek their fulfillment in all their dimensions, in the call to be human. In the part that corresponds to reality, the root of good is to be found in the possibilities of life and development that reality itself offers people. By doing what is right, people heed their inner call and outer reality. We can speak of objective good as that which in itself contributes to people's fulfillment, such as the knowledge of truth, respect for life and development, and everything that meets authentically human needs. 7.12, the good of people value. The term value refers to human beings. We see as valuable everything that is useful to us, important for our life or other people's lives. There are different kinds of valuable things or values. The difference resides in the sphere of life in which things are meaningful or valuable. Thus, we can speak of aesthetic values, religious values, material values, and ethical values. Values are qualities of things, aspects of reality that for us represent something good. They are qualities that we discover in reality, and in this sense, they are objective in character. People do not invent them. They attract people's attention, will, and affectivity. With regard to values, people have an intuition, which is joined to a movement of the will, and they come to prefer one order of things over another. Values demand from the subject the ability to apprehend, appreciate, and appraise what is best for the human person, for society, and for their development. Ethical value appears as an invitation to be preferred. What is characteristic of ethical value, unlike others, is that it decisively modifies the person. The good that is preferred and appropriated becomes an element of our being through action. The value becomes a part of us. The value of justice is manifest in the just person. The value of truth is inherent to the truthful person, etc. Values are realities that are beneficial to people, and they contribute to the shaping of the personality. Value is an aspect of reality that meets a specifically human need. People's humanization is linked to their values. 7.1.3, possibility of fulfillment. People create links to what they do because their options generate within them a possibility of living either in accordance with their vocation or in resistance to it. People's inner commitment to ethical value gives rise to the right action. From their inner strength, the possibility of acting ethically emerges. Acting the right way leads people to their own fulfillment. Good, sought out and accomplished in reality and in oneself, constitutes happiness, which is its greatest prize. Happiness arises in the context of experiences shared with others. If people fulfill themselves as human persons, they do so in the company of others. People's best possibility of fulfillment is relating their being to others. People fulfill themselves when individual good is achieved by contributing to the common good, when what is sought and attained is the result of a combination of what is good for us and for others, when we become human by helping others be human too. In the final analysis, what makes people happy is love. Love confers satisfaction and fullness. 7.2, evil and human frustration. Not all possibilities that people can opt for are beneficial to them. In the specific situations of a particular person, not everything she prefers contributes to her fulfillment. And even though we always choose from among good things, we do not always choose well. Ethical evil consists of appropriating a possibility that does not contribute to the development of the specific person. Evil is linked to that which objectively frustrates people, that which suffocates them, cuts off their development, or makes it impossible. Evil is the negation of that which is specifically human. It means giving up on growth, on consistency, on conscience, on freedom, on unity. Ethically, evil is whatever keeps people from being human and acting humanly. Any attitude, action, commitment, or reality that makes people enemies of themselves and others must be considered evil, as well as any destruction of the world and of the things that make it possible to have life, development, and the values that lead to human fulfillment. Peace, truth, solidarity, equality, love, and giving of oneself. Bad actions bring on maladjustments. Evil makes people misfits. It pits them against themselves and consequently against others. Bad action is a burden that holds back the development of the person in society. Evil in itself, unrelated to people, does not exist. What does exist are evil actions, attitudes, effects. By choosing bad options and doing bad actions, people set up obstacles to their own development. Evil is destructive. It is the way we cut human ties with other people and with reality. 7.2.1 The Roots of Evil. What we call evil has many manifestations and many roots. There is an evil that stems from error or ignorance. When ignorance is not attributable to a subject, even though the consequences of the action are extremely serious, it is not an evil with ethical implications. People are moved by drives for power, pleasure, and property. These drives can be channeled to people's own good and the good of others, but they can also develop pathologically and dehumanize people. When people are dominated by their instincts and their drives, even their feelings, and not by reason, they end up dehumanizing themselves, because what is natural for human beings is to conduct themselves according to reason and not passions, drives, or instincts. Even the noblest feelings, such as love, must be guided by reason. Many ethically bad actions have a psychological root. People experience multiple needs. Physiological needs, security, love, community, self-esteem, and self-fulfillment. If these needs are not met, they can lead to an imbalance in people or interfere with their behavior. Sometimes unmet needs cause feelings of frustration, aggression, and bad behavior. Meeting these needs the wrong way, without considering the whole person, his social nature, respect for others, and the consequences, turns out bad. Social conditions can also be a root of evil. Subhuman living conditions can bring out many frustrations in people, increasing their aggression and their destructive instincts. The context of social, political, economic, and cultural life tends to foster competition and aggression. There are invisible social mechanisms that do latent violence to people and arouse aggressive or counter-offensive attitudes. However, many of the conditioning factors, ethical evil is always a personal responsibility, although sometimes it is extremely conditioned by the social situation. People are also responsible, to a certain degree, for their conditioning factor. If these factors are not conducive to a person's development, then that person should make an effort to change them. The ultimate root of ethical evil can be found in people's inner divisions and their condition as unfinished beings. Evil is something that emerges from people's most intimate recesses. It is something that occurs by defect or absence, and not by nature. 7.2.2 Objective Evil. There are some human actions involving consciousness, forewarning, and freedom that are evil on account of their object. They are often called intrinsically evil. Some examples: homicide, genocide, abortion, euthanasia, blameworthy suicide, anything that violates a human person's integrity, such as mutilation, physical and mental torture, anything that offends human dignity, such as actions that automatically produce subhuman living conditions, arbitrary imprisonment, deportation, slavery, prostitution, human trafficking, treating people as objects to be exploited and not as free and responsible beings. That which is objectively evil, intrinsically evil, must not be the object of a positive act of will, nor may it be taken as a means to attain something good, even when the intention is to safeguard or promote the well-being of an individual, family, or society. Objective evil is not grounded in a positive law. There are things that are bad not because the law forbids them, but because they go against ethical reason, against the human person. Things of this sort are forbidden because they are bad. They are not bad because they are forbidden. Evil is not grounded in a moral conventionalism, as if things were evil because we agree to see them as such. There are things that are wrong because they violate a contract, but this does not mean that the moral order is grounded in a contract. In the same way, it is not the authorities or the state that provide the grounding for the moral order and establish what is wrong. They too must submit to the objective order. Thus, there can be unjust authorities and states. Objective evil is grounded in reality, just as truth, good, value, and obligation are. As a human act, evil has an implicit but indispensable relationship with the person who commits it, or with the reality that is its object, and with the consequences it brings about. 7.23 Guilt and frustration. Guilt is the personal experience of the evil committed. Frustration consists of not attaining our fulfillment. It is a case of deliberate denial. Ethically frustrated people are never that way coincidentally. They are because of their bad choices. Bad acts are acts through which people jeopardize the accomplishment of their personal being. If they become a way of existing, they can turn a person into a frustrated being. Frustration occurs when we fail to adjust our being to reality. This maladjustment makes people less adept at living humanly. So by opting for what is wrong, we end up frustrating ourselves. The problem with human beings consists of both what they are and what they do. If we ask ourselves what makes human beings human, or what dehumanizes them, the answer would necessarily point to their condition as ethical beings. What dehumanizes them is their action when it is wrong, inappropriate, unjust. The human dimension expresses human beings' limitation, but more than that, what leads them to their fulfillment. 7.3. Awareness of guilt and feeling guilty. Human beings, capable as they are of judging their own actions, can discover the mistakes in their actions and how they contribute to their frustration. In this way, they can experience guilt for their actions or omissions. The sense of guilt is an invitation to free oneself from the wrong action. It has a positive side to it because it compels people to go back over their mistakes. Instead of ignoring them, they acknowledge them in order to overcome them. People who can recognize their own mistakes are much freer, much more their own masters, than those who are incapable of recognizing themselves in their mistakes. The sense of guilt is a manifestation of people's moral responsibility. Not having a sense of guilt for a bad action implies a lack of ethical responsibility. Repentance implies a loyal and sincere judgment of one's behavior. The voice of conscience calls on people's loyalty. It can be a judgment of one's own act, by which a person judges himself and takes the side of what is right. When people disapprove of their own acts, it is not a case of being inconsistent with their personal history. They recognize themselves in it, but they also recognize that they are guilty. And at the same time, they recognize their call to be consistent with their vocation to do what is right. People accept themselves when they recognize themselves as guilty. They neither deny nor ignore what has happened. They do not act as if nothing had happened, which would be an evasion of reality. Accepting a negative judgment of conscience is not a denial of what one is or has done. On the contrary, one is accepting it as something that must be overcome. The acceptance of guilt is one of the most precious forms of freedom, accessible only to those who are free with regard to what they have done and who they are. There are cases in which a wrong action evokes a disproportionate feeling of guilt, a guilt complex, which is a depressive feeling out of all proportion with the guilt itself, and sometimes even independent of it. This feeling is unhealthy and ceases to be an ethical matter, but rather a psychological problem. It should be emphasized that the purpose of the call of conscience is to make people responsible and not to blame them. Guilt knocks people down. Recognition of guilt lifts them up. 7.4. Possibility of recovery. Our acts define us, but as long as we are still alive, they are never definitive. Just as those who have decided to walk the path of righteousness can take a detour by committing an unrighteous act, in the same way those who have been losing themselves through ill-advised acts can make it back to the road leading to fulfillment. A reorientation of one's life is always an option at hand. A newfound determination to do what is right already contains the spark that could trigger an inner liberation. Conditioning factors do not exhaust people's possibilities. The call to freedom is stronger than any kind of slavery. People's natural aspirations are more deeply rooted than dehumanizing options. Recovery consists of putting oneself on the path that leads to real fulfillment. It means taking a responsible stance with regard to what we are and what we have done, to reality and to others. The first step toward recovery is the desire to be authentic. People need to go back to the essential elements of their life. Recovery thus involves realizing what they are and the damage they have done to themselves. People put their past life in a balance and realize how their bad options and actions have dehumanized them, sometimes without their even knowing it. Our recovery does not start at zero. Our life experience, whatever it may be, is already a point in our favor if we know how to assume it. From experience, we learn which roads lead to frustration and how to keep from traveling down those roads again. Conversion does not happen once and for all. People have to convert day after day and assume the values that they gradually discover as theirs and that their conscience establishes as the ones to live by. Human beings, as conscious and free beings, are capable of identifying or not with their own actions and with their acquired way of being, which is why they are capable of conversion, i.e., of rejecting one acquired way of being and inclining toward another way of being, not yet acquired. Christian reflection. Evil is a necessary manifestation of human beings' limitation and the need for God. Christianity recognizes that ethical goodness or evil comes from human decisions and, at an even deeper level, from a person's heart. The lack of recognition of reality and of respect for the human person and the values that derive from her are reason enough to explain evil and frustration. The basis of both moral goodness and evil is human freedom. God has given people the capacity to recognize and choose that which favors their development, as well as that which trips up and frustrates their development. He has oriented people to seek out what is good and inclines them to do what is right. Evil, which stems from people's decisions, is not desired by God. Finally, the fulfillment that people seek is communion with God. That is why people are anxious until they attain it. Frustration is the breaking off of this communion that God always strives to reestablish. You made me, Lord, for yourself, and my heart is restless until it rests in you. The more people identify with what is right, the more they identify with Jesus Christ, even without realizing it, and they become collaborators with his work, which is the kingdom of God. Life tends to provide certain experiences that represent a compelling invitation to recovery. In Christian language, they are called conversion grace. Conversion, like all of people's ethical life, is essentially linked to the nature of God and human beings. Because God is holy, he wants the holiness of human beings. For reflection, the measure of the evil a man is capable of is proportional to the good he is called to do. Cardinal John Marie Lustiger. Human values are like our parents. When they're gone is when we identify with them most. God wants the greatest good for human beings, and thus he prefers the presence of a greater good than the absence of a lesser evil. St. Thomas de Veret 5a5 at 3. Growing in humanity does not mean leaving oneself behind. It means accepting oneself and building by putting down roots in one's heart, because only what is rooted in the heart has enduring value and bears authentic fruit. Those who do not believe claim that there is no one watching them from on high, and therefore they also know there is no one to forgive them. Their loneliness will have no limits, and their death will be hopeless. They will resort to asking forgiveness from others, and for this they will understand that first they must forgive those who have offended them. Umberto Eco. Activities. Analyze three actions in which you believe you have done the right thing and that have given you satisfaction, e.g., helping a sick person. Why do you think it was the right thing? Why did you do it? B. Do you think that for something to be ethically right, it is enough that you intended it to be so? What do you think would be needed? Analyze some actions in which you believe you did not do the right thing, such as deceiving someone. Do you think that these actions were somehow frustrating? What do you think was behind them? Comment on the following summary. What distinguishes the right thing is that it fosters human fulfillment. What is ethically good has its roots both in the subjective call to be more human and in the possibilities of life and development that reality itself offers. The objective good is that which in itself contributes to people's fulfillment. Values are qualities of things that, with respect to people, represent something good. Seeking out what is good and attaining it equals happiness. Evil is the appropriation of a possibility that is inappropriate for the specific person in question. The sense of guilt is an invitation to free oneself from wrong action. Recovery consists of setting off down the road that leads to human fulfillment. True or false, there are objective and universal evils that can be qualified as inhuman. True, false. On account of their intelligence, people are capable of passing universally valid judgments on standards of behavior. True, false. What is right is the expression of a human demand, and what is wrong is the expression of a frustrated human demand. What is right is something that should be done, and what is wrong is something that should be avoided as a demand of human nature. True, false. God can work miracles, but he cannot make objectively evil things good. True, false. Good and evil are what God says they are. The goodness or evil of human actions is previous to what is set forth by law, authority, the majority, or consensus. They depend on their consistency or inconsistency with the reality, truth, of the human person. True, false. Everything that is not forbidden is allowed. False. Evil depends on what each person sees as evil. In terms of their life and behavior, people are subject only to their own way of seeing things. True, false. If everything were acceptable, there would be no difference between what is right and what is wrong, what is just and what is unjust, what is advisable and what is ill-advised. True, false. The guilty party is simply the product of social errors. Society should not punish him, but forgive him. True, false. Each culture determines what is right and what is wrong. False. There are criteria by which each culture should be evaluated. True, false. Since nothing is true or false, nothing is good or bad, everything takes on the color of whatever glasses the observer is wearing. True, false. Evil is simply a lack of information, of education, or of positive experience. True, false. People are free to think about right and wrong as they see fit. True, false. The sensation of guilt is a mental drug. False. A guilt complex is a disproportionate reaction to real guilt. True, false. Guilt is responsibility for something wrong that a person could have avoided. True, false. Nothing needs to be evaluated or questioned. The mind creates good and evil. Everything is where it ought to be. True, false. Bibliography. Aranguren, José Luis, Ética, Alianza, Memurthime. This book contains a systematic discussion of the core issues of ethic. Written in an accessible style, it contains profound reflections. Propuestas Morales, Ed Tecnos Madrid, 1983. In this short work, the author offers a brief discussion of some of the more notable lines of contemporary ethical reflection. El Buen Talante, Edotecnos Madrid, 1986. In this book, the author takes some of the key ideas of his book Ética and presents them for a wider audience. Delacroix, Jean, Filosofía de la Culpabilidad, ed. Herder, 1985. This book is a treatise that analyzes the leading theories about the sense of guilt. Frondizi A., Los Valores, FCE, Mexico City, 1983. In this short book, the author does a phenomenological analysis of the concept of value, its structure, and its hierarchy. A clear, precise book. Nietzsche and Freud, useful for in-depth study. Marias, Julián, La Felicidad Humana, Ed Alianza Madrid, 1986. This book takes a systematic and historical look at the topic of happiness. Clear, pleasant to read, with profound intuitions. Maritain, Jacques, Lecciones Fundamentales de Filosofía Moral, Ed Club de Lectores, Buenos Aires, 1965. 81. Useful as a systematic introduction to moral philosophy from a Thomist perspective. Nietzsche, Friedrich, Más allá del bien y del mal, Ede Porrúa, Mexico City, 1987. In this book, the author subjects traditional morality, rooted both in philosophy and religion, to criticism. His confrontation of the idea of the origin of guilt is provocative and suggestive. Ortiz Monasterio, Xavier para ser humano, Edison Juni, Vivero Americana, Mexico City, 1987. Written as a textbook, pleasant to read, clear, well-grounded, an invitation to reflect. Ricor, Paul, Finitudi, Culpabilidad, Tauhorus, and Osetni Thingfor. This is one of the most profound books on the subject of guilt. It brings together the results of different human sciences, and on that basis, constructs a philosophical reflection. Ross, William David, Lo Correcto y Lo Bueno, Edo Sígueme, 1994. By using the method of clarifying the meaning of moral terms used in everyday speech, the author poses a number of fundamental ethical problems. The meaning of correct and of good, the nature of goodness, degrees of goodness, moral goodness, etc. William's Bernard Introducción a la Ética, Edo Cátedra, Madrid, 1982. In this book, the author analyzes some key concepts of ethics from the viewpoint of analytical philosophy. It contains clear distinctions regarding the use and meaning of certain terms taken from moral language. Wojtyla Arol, Max Scheler, y la Ética Cristiana, Salamanca, 1980. This book, which was Pope John Paul II's doctoral thesis, subjects Max Scheler's philosophy of values to critical examination from the standpoint of Christian morality. His discussion is clear and rigorous. Question: what is good? It is a reality that is available for appropriation by people and that fosters their fulfillment. Where can the root of ethical good be found and why? In human beings and reality. In human beings on account of their dynamism that leads them to seek their fulfillment in all of their dimensions, in the call to be human. In reality, in the possibilities for life and development that it offers people. What allows people to choose from among different good options those that are most favorable to their person, their development, and society. The ability to apprehend, appreciate, and evaluate What distinguishes ethical values? The fact that ethical values, unlike any others, decisively modify one's personal being. How do people attain their fulfillment? A. When individual good stems from having contributed to the common good. B. When what was sought and attained stems from a combination of what is good for oneself and also good for others. C. When we make ourselves human by helping others to be human. What relationship is there between what is right and human fulfillment? A directly proportional relationship. The greater the good, the greater the human fulfillment. What does ethical evil consist of? Of the appropriation of an inadequate possibility that keeps people from becoming more human. What consequences does a wrong choice imply for people? Frustration, maladjustment, poor adaptation, being at odds with oneself and therefore with others, the impossibility of personal and group development, the breaking off of human links with others and with reality. List some of the roots of evil. A. External. Psychological, unmet needs, physiological, for security, love and community, self-esteem and self-fulfillment. Social, the context of social, political, economic, and cultural life tends toward competition and aggression. B. Internal. Inside people themselves, on account of their inner divisions and their condition as unfinished beings. Why do people feel guilty? Because in their capacity to judge their own actions, they discover that they come up short, and this frustrates them. What steps can people take to get past their guilt? Be aware of it and recognize their limitation. Accept their reality as it is. Repair the damage done if possible.